Welcome to the world today. My name is Frank Weltner. I am the librarian for JewWatch, the largest compendium of information about Jewish organizations and news on the internet today. In addition, I am the librarian and archivist for a new website, www.americanussr.com, which is already the largest compendium of history concerning the negative aspects of the United States of America, which the CIA, FBI, the presidency, the Congress, and all other agencies of the United States want you to know nothing about. Welcome to the world today. My name is Frank Weltner. Today is February the 3rd, 2011. Today we have Egypt, where one half of the people in the streets are for President Mubarak and the other half are against President Mubarak. In between you have clubs, stones, riot gear, people being injured, bones being broken, students and other people being murdered right in the street. People all over the world are stopping what they're doing and tuning to Al Jazeera to watch these students prancing back and forth, fighting with each other, stumbling, being stomped upon, cars being broken into and set aflame. I find myself speaking with professional and amateur commentators all over the internet, each of them interested, each of them glued to Al Jazeera's searing square of information in which video flashes back and forth before our eyes. It's almost as though we're looking at something that we shouldn't see, like some covert love affair between heads of state. But here, this is in the street, and these are basically the rag people, the people at the very lowest echelons of life, who are, of course, led by those who have university educations and who talk to them standing atop chairs, gesticulating and offering them words of wisdom about the revolution. If I wanted to know about the revolution in Russia, I would be watching what's happening in Egypt, because it has the same flavor of the Red Bolshevik Revolution in the Soviet Union, in Petrograd and in Moscow, where Jews who ran that revolution, armed with money from New York, from the banking industry, from people like Jacob Schiff of the Guarantee National Bank, who sent $20 million with Trotsky, whose real Jewish name was basically Leon David Bronstein, gesticulating in the street, telling the Russians, come, rise up against the Tsar, and help us in this revolution, and help yourselves. Of course, they didn't know they were helping themselves to their own Christian deaths at the hands of the Jewish elites who ran the Soviet Union and who ran the Red Commissars and the Red Army, people like Trotsky and the others, whose names have become current objects of derision in Russia by the survivors whose relatives were murdered year by year from 1917 to 1940 by the Jewish Commissars, who eventually settled in New York and now bask at Brighton Beach, speaking Russian and drinking hot toddies, laughing about the murders that they committed and got by with. And you might say, oh, that was a long time ago, and besides, what does it have to do with me? Well, take a look at the streets of Egypt. Do you think those students are out there by themselves, that they came up with these ideas by themselves? And that they came up with them by themselves in Tunisia when they overthrew their president? Did they come up with them by themselves in Jordan, which is now beginning to look like it may explode like Egypt? Did all of these students come up with this by themselves? Or was it the students who were in their different political groups at college, people who were reporting to the Mossad and the CIA every aspect of conversations during weekly meetings, who were then asked to do this and to do that and to follow the students out into the street and even help them to get there and then to shout at them slogans that they wanted them to repeat again and again and again, because that's the way these things are done. These things don't come from individuals. These people are actually being manipulated by the CIA, the Mossad, and by some of their local leaders who have been influenced by these people, but really don't know that they have. Because if they knew, they wouldn't be influenced. It's all done by subterfuge, deception, and lies, which is the name of the game of politics, especially international politics, and especially the type of politics that America and Israel practice, which is the politics of hegemony and colonialism worldwide. If you look at photographs of the door to the Mossad in Israel, you will see that in the past there was a sign above it saying, "Make war through deception." Deception is one of the many ways of winning a war, and America and Israel, England, Germany, and all the other allies practice deception very, very expertly. And they have entrapped many student organizations and revolutions in their web of deceit. And so I don't see that the web that we're looking at right now should be that much different than what we saw in the French Revolution, which had the same people orchestrating it as this one. The Red Revolution in Russia, which had the same people orchestrating it as this one. Many of these revolutions, like the one in Hungary, which we allowed to die right in the streets. It was a revolution of people in rags, just like this one. So it should be proceeding almost the same way. And what happens if the rag people win? We don't know. We know that Mubarak has been a friend to the United States and to Israel, which means that Mubarak is basically an enemy of the Egyptian people, a traitor, a turncoat. No one who supports a European invader, and especially two of them, both Israel and the United States, no one who supports a European invader can be a friend of the Egyptian people, but can only be their enemy. We who live in America ought to know. These same people in IPAC, the American-Israeli Political Action Committee, and the neocons, who were the Judeo-Bolsheviks who implanted themselves inside Clinton's White House and both Bush White Houses. These are the people who started both Iraq wars. These are the people who squandered trillions of dollars of the American people on wars of conquest for Israel, using American machinery, American technology, American personnel, American banking money. These neocons, these Jewish traitors to the United States, when you call them that and call them out, people say, "Oh, that's a terrible thing for you to say." But remember Scooter Libby, whose real name was Leibowitz. Scooter Libby was a traitor to the United States who spent time in jail for some of his doings. And we in America had to suffer through this, and we lost trillions of dollars. So I might tell you this, in reference to anti-Semitism and so forth. If these folks are going to play high and mighty in America and run our presidency and our legislative committees, if they're going to do this and put their people into our judicial courts, if they're going to do that, then I have a right to complain about them without being called a bad name. Because if you're going to play high and mighty in politics, then by God, you ought to know you're going to be criticized for it. It doesn't matter if you're Jewish or you're Russian or you're German. It doesn't matter if you're Catholic or you're Protestant. If you are trying to assemble power in a democracy, and if you have assembled so much as you have with your ownership of the news media, television, movies, radio, the big corporations, and the giant universities like Harvard and Yale, where you make sure that your children receive entrance into the law school, the business school, and into the other schools, including the medical schools, and so that ours don't get those positions. When you abuse your representative power there to discriminate against my people, then by God, yes, I do have a right to criticize you and to point my fingers between your eyes and say, "Sir, you are evil. You are taking more than your share of the American democracy, and you don't give a damn about anybody else but your own people, which makes you just about the biggest racist in the United States of America today. And you're people who are a threat to the national security of all other people on this continent." ¶¶ an article here in the Washington Post Voices section, which says that the main stumbling block, according to George Soros, in Egypt is Israel. Soros says, in reality, Israel has as much to gain from the spread of democracy in the Middle East as the United States has. But, George Soros says, Israel is unlikely to recognize its own best interests because the change is too sudden and carries too many risks. And some U.S. supporters of Israel are more rigid and ideological than the Israelis themselves. Fortunately, Obama is not beholden to the religious right, which has carried on a veritable vendetta against him. The American-Israel Public Affairs Committee is no longer monolithic or the sole representative of the Jewish community. The main danger is that the Obama administration will not adjust its policies quickly enough to the suddenly changed reality. So, Soros says, it's the Israeli lobby, canard writ large. In his view, apparently Obama is a pawn of Israel and of American Jews. Well, I suppose this is probably something that has a lot of truth to it, since as soon as Obama was elected, he put a whole bunch of Jewish bankers into his administration, hundreds of them, and stood on the White House lawn and the portico with all of these people in their $800 Armani suits, smiling and holding their new papers from the United States as agents of this desperate government. These Jews came from the very banks which has destroyed our economy, through gambling, through speculation, through the development of products which were illegal, which bonded together unrelated gifts such as petroleum with real estate, and then sold them to governments around the world, which embarrassed the United States when they collapsed, showing that we had kept no control whatsoever over these banks, but it allowed them simply to pursue what we thought were their best interests, convinced in our own rhetoric that any corporation following its best interest would do things honestly and above board, which we found to our chagrin and that of the world was a big fat lie. These pus-filled pigs destroyed everything that we had worked for decades, and the reputation of America was totally crushed by the onslaught of criticism. So here we are. What did we do to stem this? We pointed the same crooks who destroyed the economy to the job of fixing it. We, in other words, brought the foxes and the wolves inside the White House and said, here, eat from your bowl of blood, and we will pay you. One of the proudest moments of American history was when thousands and thousands of people like myself called the White House and called the congressmen of this country and said, we don't want you to give trillions of dollars to these bankers. The bankers destroyed their banks. The banks should fail. The people who have money behind the banks, not those who are depositors, they should be protected, but the people who invested in the banks and have stocks should lose their money. They should lose their investment, because that's the way capitalism is. You don't do this for any other industry, and you shouldn't do it for banks. And so, within a day, the Congress voted not to give trillions of dollars to the banks. But then the representatives of Goldman Sachs, who were in places of high position in America, told the people that if you don't vote for this, we're going to have chaos in America. We're going to have a depression, etc. And if you do vote for it, then foreclosures will be taken care of and everything will be fine. So they turned on the American people and did just the opposite of what we wanted them to do. And though it was once a moment of great pride that we had called these people and told them what we wanted and they agreed with us, turned into a moment of great American shame as they voted us down and showed us that they represent the banks and they don't represent the rag people like you and me who were down here on the ground writhing in pain from all of the excesses of the bankers who care less about us and care only about their selfish selves. The rioting in the streets in Egypt have the Israeli lobby written all over them. The people out there who think they're doing what they're doing for Egypt are really doing it for the banks. They're doing it for Israel. They're doing it for the United States. They're doing it for all of the colonial powers who have given money to Mubarak, to the point where the Egyptians no longer could even stand the stench of corruption that's happened to their government. And now they're rioting in reaction. They're hating on the United States. They're hating on Israel. They're hating on England. They're hating on everything that is Western European, because everything that is Western European has destroyed what was once the destiny and the pride of the Egyptians. The disgrace in Egypt has become so deep and so dark that people have even broken into the chambers of the pharaohs, in the buildings that house the greatest historical antiquities in the world, and have cracked open some of the cases and stolen some of the memorabilia. That there just is no honesty among thieves, and among those who wish to profit from chaos. These people, fortunately, were pushed out of the building, and most of the antiquities were saved. But to think that Egypt could be so stupid as to allow people to be rioting outside of that very building and not surrounded with army personnel is absolutely absurd. What kind of country is it that would allow treasures so deep and so vast and so important to their tourism industry not to be protected by its army, when outside of the building people were pelting it with stones day and night, screaming, "Down with Mubarak, down with this, down with that," when anyone could go in through the broken windows and do whatever they wanted, and yet no one acted? It's always amazed me that people believe that their government cares about them. Governments don't care about you. They care only about themselves. They care about the banks that put money in their pockets after they've given votes that will give billions, if not trillions, to the bankers themselves. Governments are worthless pieces of crap that surround us today and hold us in their hog-like embrace as they snort around the barnyard, leaving offal upon the ground, so that the stench in Washington, London, and every other capital is so gross that when you walk the halls of Congress and you see the blood flowing from the hands of the senators and the representatives, if you're not sickened, then there must be something wrong with you, because these people have blood on their hands from all of the wars that are being fought right now in the Middle East at the behest of IPAC and of the Jews who run the banks in this country, who run the money and who steal the money from you every day of the week. People like to call me anti-Semitic, and I like to tell them, well, I couldn't be anti-Semitic because all of the Jews in America are nothing but fake Jews. They came from Khazaria, south of Russia, north of Turkey, along the Mongol highway that goes back and forth from Turkey to Mongolia. And these people came from Mongolia and settled, and they converted to Judaism, and they don't have 1 ounce of blood that flowed through the veins of Abraham. It's all one big sham, and there's no reason to call somebody anti-Semitic when you don't have any Semitic blood in your veins. How could you do that? It's simple, because you're people of deception and of lies. As Jesus said in John 8:44, he said, "You Jews are of your father the devil, who is a liar and shall always be a liar." And that's what your Mossad calls itself, a liar. It says war through deception. And that's what Israel's all about. And it's what America's all about. America and Israel have become one and the same. They're both colonial powers. They've both built their countries by destroying the native populations that lived upon its land, murdering them, moving them into reservations, and then continuing to do their dirty work to them, such as the Israelis building settlements on the West Bank, the Israelis bombing the Gazans with phosphorus bombs that burn through their clothing and give them a horrible death of screams and agony, killing people inside of their family homes as they do in Gaza and the West Bank when they bomb these people's homes, and also the Americans when they bomb the homes in Iraq and in Afghanistan, and all the treachery of America and Israel, the blood pouring from the hands of our senators, congressmen, presidents, pour down the Capitol steps and onto the footprints of the Americans coming there to visit, to show their children, when they say to the children, "Look, you live in a democracy. See these great marble halls. See the goodness of America. See the America that stands for human rights, when all along the bombs are falling up and down the peninsulas of the Middle East, and people are being murdered in their homes, And instead of saying that we murdered these people, all we say is that these people were militants, and that's why we bombed them, which is just a part of the great big fat lie of America. Now, as you know, I have presented to you an archive, a great compendium of the negative aspects of America that you never before were able to see in one place. It's a place called AmericanUSSR.com, which has been named that specifically because America has been turned into a new Soviet Union, the American Union of Socialist Soviet Republics. That's what America is now. It is a Jewish-run colony that believes in war, in blooding the hands of the Senate and the House, and of all of the American people who have blood dripping from their fingers every minute of the day, because their country is using their taxes to murder people in the Middle East, to murder people all over the world whenever there's some sort of revolution. It doesn't matter if we're invading Panama or Grenada or Argentina. It doesn't matter that we're the ones who have murdered the great presidents of this world, such as Allende, and replaced him with a dictator by the name of Pinochet. It doesn't matter if we have helped to murder Saddam Hussein, who we lied about and said was a great disruptor of the world itself, when he had done really nothing except what America asked him to do. He invaded Iran, which had been our colony and which had betrayed us and kicked us out, told us to leave our 20 aircraft bases there and be lost. So we got Saddam Hussein next door to attack them and to punish them for us. And then when he was done, we attacked him and killed him. That's what you can expect from America. Total disregard for honor. Total disregard for loyalty. Total disregard for the friends who have killed their own citizens in your behalf. That's the America that I know. The America of lies and deceptions and of horrors beyond compare. Look at the friends that we listen to for advice, such as Chalabi, the great liar of Iraq, who told our presidents exactly what they wanted to hear, that Saddam Hussein was a terrible person, that his sons were raping women on the streets of Baghdad on their way from the government building to their homes. There was no real evidence of this. But such wasn't needed because our Jewish-owned press was very, very happy to print these materials because they wanted America to invade Iraq, to waste trillions of dollars doing it, because the trillions of dollars would have to be borrowed from the banks, which were owned by their relatives, who would then have enough money to pay them to continue their newspapers, which weren't earning all that much money, and needed infusions of money in order to keep going. Well, this little state of affairs is something that's been going on for a long, long time, but no one wants to talk about it, because if you do, then the newspapers will begin beating their drums about how you're an anti-Semite, when in fact all of the fake Jews that run the newspapers aren't Jews at all. They're Mongols. Mongols who converted to Judaism and falsely tell people that they are related to Abraham, when in fact they aren't at all. It was all nothing but a big deceit and a scam. Now, I was raised a religious person in a Baptist church where I must admit that I was religiously abused most of my life. And so I have a kind of black-white attitude about religion. I love religion and I hate religion. I love the idea of religious people who devote themselves to books written by nomads who ran around in tents and had fun with their sheep for thousands of years out in the deserts of the ancient world. People who looked at the stars and saw God there and then wrote these things down in a book in order to manipulate people and to turn them into their own personal slaves. Through religions that eventually became businesses owned and operated by people who passed the cuffs of religion, the various refinements, the costumes, the churches, to their families as they passed away. Like great monarchs of old, the popes, the archbishops, the cardinals, all of these people looking up to the pope as though he is some king over the religious faithful. around the world, when in fact he's simply somebody who learned about religion in some sort of a seminary, worked his way up, got lucky, and suddenly became the head honcho. I realize this sounds disrespectful, but I don't mean it to be. But I've seen these religions. I've seen some of the crazy things that they say. For instance, the Catholic Church has said for a long, long time that the use of condoms is sinful. That when people have sex, they should do it to have children. And that it's an evil to have sex for pleasure and not for children. And they say, well, if you don't want to have children, the way to do it is to withdraw and cast your seed upon the ground. Which was a story told by the story of Onan, who had sex with his brother's sister when his brother died, in order to give his brother some sons in order to inherit his land. And Onan would withdraw when he was ready to release sperm, so that his brother's wife couldn't receive the sperm and therefore give him a son. And so God killed Onan and said, Onan, cast not thine seed upon the ground. And yet this ritual, by for which Onan was killed, became the preferred method of the Catholic Church for people to not have children. You can't use condoms, but you can cast your seed upon the ground, as Onan did, and for which God mercilessly killed him. I regret to pronounce these hilarious ironies in religion, but these are the way things are. You have the same thing all over America's radio and TV stations, where people are criticizing China for the one-child policy. Well, I mean, on the one hand, you have more than a billion people there. They hardly have enough food to feed each other. And we've said over and over again for decades that the Chinese need to do something to curb their population. And when they do with the one-child law, we say, well, oh, well, these are a bunch of tyrants. Look what they're doing. Well, my God, what do you expect them to do? Do you want them to have 2 or 3 billion people where they might all start starving and a world war might start for food? Well, what do you want? Do you want world chaos? Do you want suffering? Do you want children to be born in a country where they don't have enough land to feed them? Or is it what you really want is to get them to have too many children so they have to buy food from the United States and from South America so that you, as the broker of food, can make extra money off of that and help to impoverish these people even further? I suspect that's what it's all about. It's about the controlled impoverishment of these people, and that the capitalists in America and in London, using their ability to pick up telephones, can make 30 to 40% of the cost of the food put into their pockets, so they can have little designer countries like Israel to destroy other people, like the Palestinians in Gaza, and the Palestinians in the West Bank, and the Egyptians, and the Persians, and all the other people that they deal with, to threaten them with atomic weaponry that is held at Dimona, and to tell these people that, well, we didn't sign any treaty, but you did, so therefore we get to have weapons, but you don't. And our great benefactor, the United States of America, which has 20,000 nuclear weapons, is now the person who's going to tell you that you, Iran, you, Iraq, and all of you other little countries can't have weapons, but we can keep ours, our 20,000 of them, and we can dangle them over your people and tell you, if you don't do what you want, we have atomic weapons, and you know what that means. So what are these little weaponless nations supposed to think that it means? That we have atomic weapons and we're not going to use them on you? Or, we have atomic weapons, and let us show you pictures of little burnt children at Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Oh, yes, that might happen to you, although we're not threatening you. But we don't want you to have any weapons, because that would be evil, that would be bad. That would ruin the entire world, but our 20,000 weapons and our 1,500 delivery mechanisms, such as missiles that can deliver them and submarines, etc., these are things that we're going to keep and lord it over you. And you're not going to get these things. And that way we're going to manipulate you and control you and twist you, and mutilate you, staple you, ground you into the floor, and we're going to stomp on your head and your neck until your bones break. I should have been a diplomat. I have all of the subtleties necessary, all of the use of language, the sweet words that you pronounce as you burn people into the mountainsides with your nuclear weapons, saying, "You have forced me to do this. Aren't you ashamed of yourself? Look at you, your eyes exploding, your skin boiling, your children screaming, and now the silence and the green glass over your entire country. And you forced me to do it. There was nothing that I could do about it. It was your fault. I wouldn't have done it but for you and all of your many evils and your inadequacies." I know the perfect language of diplomacy. I know how to phrase things so that it makes my country look good and your country look like evil filth. Of course, it's nothing but balderdash. It's nothing but lies and deception. But it's the way of the world. And it's the way that I have witnessed all of my life, and I'm getting quite ancient now. I've reached that area of wisdom where I can see exactly what's going on, and the BS that people pronounce constantly just simply goes through one ear and out the other, and it doesn't bother me that I see it. It actually entertains me that I can see all of the bull crap that is pronounced by the liars of all of these countries. Each country is a placental a connection to a child that is aberrant. And the child itself is the nation and the people who were taught the wrong things by those at the top, whose only job is to spin lies one after the other, deceptions one after the other, to hoodwink these people, to make them stand and salute, and to patriotically lush after the verdant flags of these countries that represent the filth at the top, who are manipulated them. Such as, you know, if you go to the Super Bowl and you see the American flag flying and someone singing, "Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light," and everyone is standing and listening to it with patriotic fervor. All of these puppets, all of these little animals sitting in their seats, standing in pride that the great liars of the Western world who run America, who own the flag and are using it to commit one war after the other, to kill millions of people every decade over in the Middle East at their behest, which isn't really their behest, it's the behest of Israel and of the bankers, who themselves have been exploiting the American people for decades, for hundreds of years actually, who have been printing fake phony paper money for free and then loaning it to them at 5%, 10%, 20%, sometimes even 30% if it's a credit card. And if they, oh my God, if they happen to be late on a payment, or if they happen to make a mathematical mistake, then it's $34 a charge for each one of these things. Because these crooks who run the country think that making money off of you and destroying your life is one of the most wonderful things in the world. So there you are at the Super Bowl, standing and saluting your flag. The flag of the country that hates you, that has destroyed you, that makes you work day in and day out to pay off your house, your heating bill, your medical bill, and everybody's putting their fingers inside of your wallet, stealing from you day in and day out. And every $80 shirt that you buy at Macy's, they purchase for only $2 in China, and you get nothing for your money. You only shop at these company stores that overcharge you and that bilk you of everything that you've earned, making your work life into a point of idiocy for you. And this brings us full circle back to the people in the rags in the streets of Egypt who are just like you. They've been exploited by Mubarak, who is kept in office by America and by England and by France, who put money in his pocket, and by Israel, who helps to put money in his pocket. Israel, who invaded Sinai and gave it back reluctantly. Israel, who is a threat to every nation in the Middle East, and who's killing their relatives in Gaza and the West Bank. You know, the little crap state of Israel, as the French foreign minister called it. That little turd in the Middle East that the United States vetoes any criticism of Israel in the United Nations, making America into a laughingstock among all the other nations who know that Israel is one of the most evil places in the world, that everything it does is evil, and that it came from the Soviet Union, which the same people who live there used to run the Soviet Union, and many of them went to Israel to avoid punishment later on. Oh, and then the banks in New York, who were run by the same Israelis, got a hold of the industries that had been made by the slaves of the Soviet Union, and through the oligarch system, they were able to walk away with every one of those companies and to exploit those companies, to take the money, to send it to the New York banks, the Rothschild banks in London and New York, and in Israel. Yes, these people who made a laughingstock out of America have made a laughingstock out of Israel as well. And we're all in cahoots with these monsters, these mafia people, these gangsters in the banks, these gangsters in Israel, these gangsters in the U.S. Senate, these gangsters in the U.S. House of Representatives, these thugs in the White House who plan wars and who move back and forth with the military people between the Pentagon and the White House and the Congress, planning how to kill millions and millions of people every decade, and how to steal their natural wealth, their oil, their diamonds, whatever they have that our capitalists can use. We plot to take it from them, to steal it from the little rag people in those countries, and to make sure that we have wealth and that they have nothing. And this is what we call democracy. This is what we call the Great American Republic. This is that which we're proud of when we stand and we salute the American flag when someone is singing the Star Spangled Banner. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light, by the ramparts we watched so gallantly streaming, that American battle flag, that war flag of a country that's been at war all of its days, that came off of the ships in Plymouth Rock, and who noticed that the Indians had already died when French sailors had landed there, bringing their diseases from Europe with them. And so they discovered these villages all over the area outside of Boston, where the Indians had died from European diseases. So we simply walked in, and there was nobody there. And it was almost a year before the first Indian appeared and showed us how to raise corn. And if they'd simply come in and killed us all, they would still have their own land. But instead, they tolerated our immigration into their lands. And so, of course, we stole everything that they had. We murdered them one by one until there were almost none of them left. We stole New York from them, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Delaware, everything they owned. We stole the Wild West from them. We stole all of these things. This is America. That land of freedom, that land of pride, which has stolen everything that it owns, and it has destroyed the destinies of millions and millions of people all the way across this continent, and across other continents, and has participated in civil wars, revolutions, world wars, and has stumbled into one palace after another, working with presidents, and then undermining them and offering revolutions where the people come into the palace, drag them out, and hang them. Our friends, we betray them, so they become hanged out in the courtyard. We've done this over and over again. It's history. It's the destiny of America is to kill its friends and to kill its own people by asking other people unlike them to come in and to take their place and to reproduce among our midst, and then to replace us with people that don't look like us, who don't think like us, who worship other foreign gods than the ones that we were worshiping. That's our government. A government of hatred. A government of betrayal, of deceit, and of lies. The same type of government that the Egyptians are rebelling against when they're rebelling against Mubarak, who kisses up under the ass of the United States and of Israel. Something that they have learned to abhor. And they see their country falling apart. They see its destiny being destroyed by materialism, by capitalism, by banking. And they don't like it, and they want this to change. They want their nation back. They want their religion back. They want their philosophies back. They want their thousands of years of history back. They don't want somebody from a Western nation coming in and telling them what to do, especially if it's in Tel Aviv. They want their nation back. And that's what you and I want. We want our nation back, and it's time that we start to take it back, all of us around the world. that we take our countries back, that we eliminate IPAC, that we eliminate the banks, that we send the Israelis back to Israel who live here and have abused us by taking over our government and our banks and by lording it over us. They need to be deported. And God help the poor Arabs when we deport them over to Israel. But we don't want them here. They have destroyed our nation. They have taken trillions of dollars from us. And unless they leave, they will never, ever stop. And that's the honest-to-God truth. And that's why eventually our people will be in the street, in their rags, fighting to take their land back, just like the Egyptians.